Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky, and I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Monday, May 7th. Beautiful day here in Madisonville. Thank God for His blessings upon us. Thank the Lord that yesterday being the Lord's Day, we had a good day in the house of God. Appreciate those that came out and were with us here at the Island Ford Baptist Church. I trust and pray you had a good day where you were meeting with God's people in the Lord's house. Amen. And it's a blessing to be able to serve the Lord. By the way, going to church on Sunday is not actually serving the Lord. We go to worship. We go out to serve, and we serve Him. I hope you've served Him today. Amen. But what a privilege it is to serve a living God. And that's why we go to church on the first day of the week. And let me mention just a couple of things by way of announcement. Of course, we had a good day yesterday morning, and then last night, Brother Kuhn preached for us and did a tremendous job and a great message from the Word of God. And we're grateful for it and thank the Lord for it. And then this coming Lord's Day, now we've got a ladies' meeting coming up on this coming Saturday, the 12th at 10 o'clock. We'll be having a ladies' meeting here at the Island Ford Baptist Church. Sister Norma Raines will be speaking to the ladies here in our ladies' meeting. And then her husband, Dr. Larry Raines, will be preaching for us in the AM and PM service. And that is this upcoming Lord's Day. We'd love to have you come and be with us on that Lord's Day. It'd be a real blessing if you could. I know it's Mother's Day. It's a special day, but it's also the Lord's Day. And we'd love to have you come and be with us here at the Island Ford Baptist Church. Brother Raines will be preaching. And let me mention some things in prayer requests, and we'll go right to the Lord in prayer. Of course, I want to thank the Lord for the privilege of being in that preacher's fellowship down there at the Bible Baptist Church in Clarksville, Tennessee. Brother Badgett, the pastor there, I'd never met him before, at least don't remember meeting him before, and got acquainted and realized that we know some people together and mutual acquaintances. That's a blessing. And then I was even given the opportunity to preach down there on today in the preacher's fellowship, and what a blessing it was. And then the other preachers, we had a good time, a fellowship together, and I thank the Lord for that. But I want you to pray for our upcoming meeting. Of course, pray for the broadcast today. But I want you to pray for a family back in Knoxville, Tennessee, little community called Halls, Tennessee, and the Halls Baptist Church. Brother Tim Gupton is the good pastor. Brother Larry Wells, a good friend of ours, is a member of that church. Brother Gupton's son is his second son, same age as my youngest son, John Paul, was killed in a motorcycle accident last night. We just found out about it this morning. Want to pray for him and his family. He was married, had a wife, two little babies, and the wife expecting at just any time, a third child. And so want to pray for that family, Brother Gupton, and the Gupton family of his son and those around them. Her wife is from a large family as well, the Mueller family. We know all these folks well and want to pray for them that God would comfort and help them in this hour and in this time. So if you will, pray with us together at this time. Heavenly Father, Lord, I love You. I thank You for loving me. I thank You, dear God, for Your grace and goodness, even when we don't understand, even when things such as these we consider tragic happen. As far as I know, John Paul was serving God. As far as I know, he loved God, seemed to be, had a good family, good upbringing, good church, good friends. And yet, so soon, his life taken from him. But Lord, not by accident, really, because You know and You had it all planned and You've got a reason for it. So I pray, dear God, for great comfort. I know that's not necessarily comforting to the family, but I pray that You would comfort the family. I pray for that wife and those little children. I pray for their mother and dad, the siblings and those extended in the family, and the church family. Would You help and, Lord, touch and meet their needs? Lord, I pray be with Mrs. Hall as she goes to the doctor tomorrow. I pray, dear God, be with the different ones, the different procedures and things we know of going on, Brother Shelby, and the situation he's facing. Lord, touch him and help there. Just meet all these different needs, I pray. Please bless our ladies' meeting coming up, and then Lord's Day as well with Brother Raines. Lord, I pray, use this broadcast. Let it be a blessing to somebody. Let it speak to somebody and bring them closer to Christ. We'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, I appreciate the opportunity to pray. Appreciate you praying with us. We're going to go to a song and then the message now from Malachi chapter number 2 and 3. And then looking back at chapter number 1 as we're studying Malachi now, verse by verse on the program. And we do have a song by the Shepherd family. That's one of their older recordings, a song entitled Sail On. And hope this will be a blessing to you as the Shepherd family sings. Reading from the Word of God in Malachi chapter number 2 and Malachi chapter number 3. And so we're going to be looking at this book of Malachi. This is the fourth message. We've dealt with three already. I'll say more about that as we move on. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words, yet ye say, wherein have we wearied Him? When ye say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and He delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment? That's where I'm taking my title, where is the God of judgment? Chapter 3, verse 1, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Hold your place there in Malachi chapter 2. We'll read those verses in our study of the book of Malachi. Again, I didn't intend on it developing into this, but it has, and I'm grateful as I've studied it. I've noticed how that God puts things in place and how that He works it out. It's a blessing to me. But this text that I've used as my starting place is really the center of the book. If the book were laid out, typewritten out, put in booklet form and stapled, this would be the middle of it. This text that I read, chapter 2, and the last verse and the first verse of chapter 3 would be the center. And I believe it gives us the emphasis of the whole thing. When you look at it and see the center, it's like when you throw a rock in the pond and then it just ripples out from that. And all the rest of the book is just ripples. And so we're starting at the front and we're headed towards the center and we're seeing the purpose of what that was written there. And as I mentioned, my first message was really a length the introduction to this book, and then our second and third message dealt with three sins mentioned of the seven sins we've called the complaints of the Lord. And by the way, the book I mentioned is broken down right in half. The first two chapters primarily deal with the complaints of the Lord. The second two chapters deal with the coming of the Lord. And it's interesting that they ask the question, chapter 2, where is the God of judgment? Chapter 3, he said, I've got my messenger coming and I'm on my way. There is a God in heaven that's on His way with judgment for this world. Amen. I remember as a child growing up there in North Carolina in a little place called Wilbur, North Carolina. I can remember as I got up a little bit older and Mom would holler at us, especially on Sunday morning. Mom would holler at us that it's time to get up. And you know how boys are, they're a little bit sleepy-headed, and especially when they get to be teenagers. I don't understand. Toddlers and teenagers need more sleep than anybody in the world. Amen. But teenagers, we'd be a little bit sleepy-headed. Mom would say, it's time to get up. And we wouldn't get up. And Mom would come back, are you up? Yeah, we're up. But we wasn't up. We was in bed. You know, our idea was we were awake. It meant we was up. That's not the same, by the way. And so she'd say, boys, if you don't get up, I'm going to have to get your dad. Well, there's notice, buddy, that you better be out of bed. And I remember one time in particular, our feet didn't hit the floor quick enough. And I remember Mom said, play toe. And as soon as she said that, man, I was wide awake and alert and ready to go. Because I knew when Daddy come, he's coming with a belt in his hand. Amen. And there'd be judgment coming. Well, that's the situation here. The Lord's in. They're saying, God's giving warning, warning, warning. They're saying, where is the God of judgment? God said, I'm on my way and I've got my belt in my hand. Amen. In other words, judgment was on the way. And it is. Judgment's on the way now, even more so, I believe, than it was in those days. But then we dealt with these complaints of the Lord, and that there were seven sins down through these verses, chapter 1 and 2. And I broke those into two distinct groups. I called those the spiritual sins of the nation, and then the special sins of the nation. The spiritual sins that they were committing, all sin, I believe, is spiritual. There's a problem in the spirit world that causes us to sin. Amen. And when we sin, it has its effects in the spirit world. Some people say, well, I can sin and it not affect anything. Some sins affect your body and some sins affect your mind, but all sins affect the spirit world. Are you listening to me? Amen. You may open spiritual doors that you're going to have a hard time closing. You may open spiritual doors that you may not by yourself ever be able to close. And it'll take a supernatural work of the Spirit of God to get those doors completely closed and barred. Amen. But I'm glad God's Word is able, amen, to cleanse us from all sin. Amen. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. I'm glad that's so. But I dealt with these sins and looked at the first three. I believe the four of them are the spiritual sins, and then three are the special sins of the nation. We'll get to those
those later. But these four, we looked at the first three, denying God's love, despising God's name, and defiling God's altar. Today we're going to look at the fourth one. That's found in chapter 2, verse number 1. Now, those first three are in chapter 1, but chapter 2 deals with this fourth sin and goes down through verse number 9. So I'm going to read that. I'm not going to have the time to preach and cover all 9 of these verses today, but I'll go down through a few verses and give you our thought. All right? Verse number 1, "And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you." By the way, I'm reminding you that he mentioned the priests earlier about profaning the table of God and calling it a profane thing. But he's dealing primarily with the priest in this verse. "O priest, this commandment is for you." Verse 2. "If ye will not hear, if ye will not lay it to heart to give glory to my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because ye do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts, and one shall take you away with it. And ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, and my commandment, or that my commandment might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear which he feared me and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But ye are departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law." All right. So we read there, God said, you are guilty of disregarding the law of God. You have set aside the law of God. You would not listen to the law of God. You would not heed the law of God. Now, when I'm preaching to the preachers, I'm not just preaching to Brother Hall and myself. Amen. I guess I'm preaching to preachers across the airwaves. But I'll say this. When God deals with the preachers, He will also deal with the people. And if it is wrong for the preacher to disregard the Word of God, surely it's wrong for the people as well to disregard the law of God. Amen. I was talking with Brother Vincent about some of the thoughts that's in my mind earlier in the week. And of course, he was joking. He said, "Praise God, I'm going to bring my popcorn. I'm going to sit back and enjoy this one." Amen. He said, "You're going to wreck the preachers over the coals." Amen. And enjoy that time. But I told him, I said, "You shouldn't have said that, brother." Amen. Because I already had some of these in my notes and some of the thoughts about how I was going to go. And I was going to say it this way. Some of you might rejoice in this section of our study because God pours forth His outrage directed specifically at the priest. Perhaps you might think it is high time that the preachers get what is coming to them. And by the way, that is true. But remember this, when God has finished reproving the leaders, He will rebuke those that follow such leaders. The sad truth is that too many preachers are slack because that's what the people desire from them. Amen. Jeremiah chapter number 5, verse 30 and 31. Here's what Jeremiah said. He said, "A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof?" Amen. It's sad to say that across our land today, there are a lot of churches that want a preacher that doesn't heed to the Word of God. Amen. That doesn't say, "Thus saith the Lord," about a lot of issues. They'd like for him to skip some issues. Amen. Be blindsided about an issue. Amen. For example, if he's messed up in his home, he won't say anything about their home. If he wears his shorts, they can wear theirs. Amen. You just go down the line. There's a lot of reasons why some people pick the leader because that's what they want to follow. Amen. I'm telling you, our nation votes in whoremongers because they love to follow after whoremongers. They vote in liars because they love to live their life of deceit and wickedness. Amen. And the leader is a representative of the follower, and the follower is many times a representative of what they are, what is leading them. And so I'll say this, Bible says in 1 Peter chapter number 4 and verse number 17, he said, "For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" Amen. So the judgment's going to begin at the house of God. God's going to deal with His people, and I know that's so. As we look at this and study this section, there's a rebuke to the ministry. We ought to find areas in our own life that we can seek admonitions from God in our own life, that our seed not be corrupted, amen, and that our blessings not become cursed, as He said in this text, all right? Let me give you an outline of the whole text, and I'll preach a couple of these points. There's 5 points that I see in these 9 verses. First of all, verse 1 and 2 shows me the complaint to the priests. And verse number 3 shows me the corruption of the priests. Verse number 4 and 5, I see the covenant with the priests. And verses 6 and 7, I see the consecration of the priests, what they were supposed to be consecrated. And then the last thing in verses 8 and 9, I see the contempt of the priests. He mentions about making them contemptible. And so as we look at this, I'm going to deal, first of all, and I'll do it A, B, C. A, I'm going to deal with the complaint to the priests, verses 1 and 2, primarily here. He says in verse number 1, "And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you." Brother Vince talked this morning about the parable, I guess you said, the story of the good shepherd, and how they talked about that. He mentioned the hireling and the shepherd. He mentioned about the wolf. He mentioned about the thieves and the robbers, and then the good shepherd. And he tied all that together, of course, with the life of the Lord. That is the emphasis of that text. But he also tied with it these hirelings being those that are not shepherds, but they are false shepherds. These leaders that are out for what they can get. These leaders that are out for no good. Amen. They're deceptive in what they're doing. And he referenced, and I saw it in there, that Jesus said they don't enter in by the door, but he said those that come in by the door shall be saved. So it says to me, those that climb over the wall, those that come in a different way. Brother Hall was talking about those that muscle their way in and push their way into the ministry are not even saved. Are you listening? They're not even saved. And so God's going to deal with them, and He does it here in this text. He said, "I want you to know this commandment is for you." Amen. This commandment is for you. It reveals that God has a complaint to the priests. And it's interesting to me that here we are today, and that was the Sunday school lesson this morning. I imagine when our Lord's given this complaint to Him down through here, and chapter 1 He deals about they've polluted the altar of God, they've offered things that are not perfect sacrifices, they are blemished sacrifices, and they know that. They bring a female when they were supposed to bring a male. They don't bring the best of the flock, they bring the worst of the flock. And He said, "You have defiled mine altar." I imagine the priest would complain and say this. They'd say, "Lord, we can only offer what they bring to us." Wouldn't you say that's right? They'd say if it was a crippled lamb, they brought it and said that was the best they had. And so they try to shift the blame back to the others. But the Lord said, "I want you to know, I'm going to deal with them, but I want you to know you're responsible for what's offered at the table of the Lord." Amen. Amen. And so the preacher's job is to feed the flock of God. Amen. And to feed them on good things and not on filth. Amen. There are a lot of thieves and robbers out there writing books about how to build the church, how to have sermons that please everybody. Amen. How to do all, win friends and influence people. Amen. They got all these ideas that are corruptible ideas. The purpose of them are to make money. Thieves and robbers type stuff. Amen. The purpose of them are to get bigger and quote unquote better, so that they can have more and more money coming in and they can have more people to fleece. Amen. But the sad part is that sometimes they confuse and deceive even the real sheep. Amen. They're wolves, but they're in sheep's clothing. And so God's saying to these people, these priests, if they're trying to shift the load, here's what He's saying. He's shooting the arrow right back at them. And He's saying, if the people are bringing defaulted or faulty offerings, it's because you've not taught them right. That's what He's saying. It was their job as the priest to teach them what to bring. Amen. It was their job to require it. By the way, the best teachers I had in school were the hardest teachers. Wouldn't you agree with that? The ones that expected the most out of me. Amen. The ones that pushed me and said, I know you can do better if you'll just put out the little effort. Those were the best teachers. Isn't that right? Amen. I'll say today that the best preachers in the world are those that expect the most out of God's people. Amen. That expect them to live right. That expect them to live to a higher standard than the world's living. To a higher standard than the religious world's living. Amen. I believe that's right. But he's saying here these teachers, they were supposed to be teachers of the people, and yet they were partly to blame for the corruptness of the people because they had led them in corrupt paths. They were corrupt teachers, and it was a case of the blind being leaders of the blind. Amen. And so certainly, I'll say this, certainly God disciplines all of His children. Isn't that right? But wouldn't you think especially those who are in authority? I can remember a time or two in our home there when the children got just a little bit bigger. Hannah's 4 years older, is that right? 4 years older than Ben, 5 years older than Ben. So she was the oldest. Hannah, ever since she was little bitty, I mean, just as soon as Joshua come along, 20 months after her, Joshua come along, and as soon as he's born, she's little mama. Alright? She's little mama. She's wanting to look after him, when he stumbles about. By the way, it's harder to teach them how to talk because she would tell us what they was saying and we didn't have to make them say it plain. Amen. But she was little mama. That was in her. But when, as they got up, and especially with her and then with Joshua, I would say to them, I'd say, listen, when those little boys do wrong, it's bad enough. But you're the one supposed to be leading them and they're watching you and they're following your steps. And so I deal more severely with those that were older that knew better. Is that right? So God, when He deals in judgment, He's going to deal with those little sheep. He's going to deal with every one of us as it comes along. But He's going to deal with those that know better more harshly.
And that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. Hope you'll tune in this same time every Monday through Friday for another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying good day and God bless you.